Hello and welcome everyone to the Traction Stage podcast. Traction is what every startup is looking for in its early stages. It is the clear evidence that the market wants your product or service, and it's when things start getting bigger and better. I'm Alexandre Azevedo, and as your host, I'll interview startup entrepreneurs from all over the world to better understand which were the elements they've counted on and the challenges they faced before finding traction for the businesses. In today's episode, I'll interview Karin Baumann, founder of Appian Power. Well, hello, Karin, and welcome to our show.
Hello, this is Karin. Hi, nice to meet you.
Great, great. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us today. And start by telling us a little bit about yourself and Appian's story. It all started in Delft Technology University, right?
That's correct. So my name is Karin Baumann. I'm an entrepreneur in the energy, smart energy, clean tech area. And in 2004, I founded a company called Appian Power. And we were basically driven by a mission to accelerate the uptake of electric vehicles. And the company was making fast charging technology for electric cars. So the ability to charge a electric car within 15 minutes. And that company became quite successful and was successfully acquired by multinational company ABB. After that, I worked for several years inside ABB to scale the business actually to a quite significant business. And now I'm back on the entrepreneurial track. So I'm very excited about the clean energy transition, which is going on currently.
Great, great. That's a great technology. And just for understanding a little bit further, in that time, you and your partners, when you started, what did traction mean to you, and what traction metric did you use? Did you know what success looked like?
I must say, so we were a very much a technology push kind of startup. So I think the first metric for us was to find some kind of product implementation for technology which could make sense. So the basic story is that we were triggered after university, were triggered by a person who was a researcher who was actually studying the fast charging capability of lithium ion batteries. And at that time we thought that was a great idea if you could fast charge a battery. And there would be many applications. So that's how it started. But in general, it was at that time, it was, you know, people thought it was crazy to fast charge a battery. They didn't believe it could be done. They thought it was dangerous and all these things. So sure. It was very unclear. Let's say, first of all, people didn't believe it was possible. And then second of all, it was very unclear if you could apply this to a product. So overcoming the first hurdle is to prove that it's possible, we basically made some prototypes to demonstrate. But after that, our main metric was to find a good market, because we were more like a solution looking for a problem, like many technology push startups. And there were actually, the problem was not that there were too little markets, but there were just too many. Because batteries are everywhere. So fast charging a battery, you can apply literally anywhere. And let's say our first metric was basically to find a good market where we could actually scale this technology.
Great, great. And how long did it take getting Appian from the idea to traction? When did you realize that the business was really taking off?
I think that was actually, I would say, about 4 years, more or less. Yeah, first of all, it's a very technical and hardware-oriented domain where things take long and take a lot of investment. And Let's say we experimented a lot. Initially, we looked into the mobile phone market, as you know, everybody told us that hey, you can fast charge a battery. It's a fantastic solution for a mobile phone. So, but we found out the hard way just by trying that basically the mobile phone market is actually extremely tough and difficult market. I mean, in hindsight, you would know it, but it's really not easy. And also, I must say, my heart was not never with this business. I was always, you know, my graduation in university was about clean energy. I was always more attracted to the electric vehicle and, let's say, clean mobility domain. But at that time, there was really no commercial market for electric cars. So basically, we initially, let's say, the first 2 to 3 years, we looked for a market and we looked into mobile phones and electric vehicles. But there was not really a market. And the mobile phone market was too difficult. So basically what we did then was at some point we started to look at professional electric vehicles, which are like, for example, forklifts, the electric vehicles you see at airports, you know, these little vehicles yeah. driving around. And we found our first real business case was actually in professional electric vehicles at the airport, because if you can charge such a vehicle in 15 minutes, it saves a lot of money for the airport, because they, in many airports and also in warehouses and let's say businesses which operate more than 16 hours per day, they have multiple vehicles, multiple batteries in order to run the whole day. So basically, our first market was professional industrial vehicles like forklifts, industrial cleaning machines, small vehicles at airports, etc. And that happened around 2008 when we signed some first contracts with airports and with a vehicle manufacturer.
Right. So it took 4 years approximately to get into the traction stage, right?
Yeah, four years to get into the traction stage, let's say, where it got serious. If I, you know, it depends how you define traction. I mean, if you define traction as in there is a lot of interest for your technology, I mean, that was from the first moment we demonstrated you could fast charge a battery. There was really a lot of interest. But the business case, the interest was for the wrong business cases. So, for example, the mobile phone market was very difficult because there is a huge price pressure, and since it's quite advanced and new technology, the price is higher, so you pay a premium price for this technology. And let's say starting with a premium price into a very low cost market, very cost efficient market, is very difficult. So we got a lot of interest from day one, but the traction where the business case actually made sense took some time.
Okay. So when you changed the focus from mobile to the electric vehicles, this was something very important for you, right? That made yes. the difference.
That was the turning point, because the benefit of the industrial electric vehicle market is that it's not all about the price of the equipment. It's more about the total cost of ownership, and basically. Even with more expensive technology, if you can charge a vehicle in 15 minutes, it means you can eliminate a lot of vehicles from your shift. So basically, maybe the cost of the equipment is higher, but you can reduce your total fleet significantly. And in airports, there are also other benefits, like with the lithium-ion batteries, you don't need special equipment to clean the air, because the traditional equipment uses lead-acid batteries. And lead-acid batteries, give out some hydrogen gas, which is dangerous. So they need special ventilation systems in the airport, which are quite expensive. So basically, the technology was more expensive, but the total cost of ownership of a solution was much better. So that's where it really started to work.
Great. And in that context, I would like to understand which were the elements of your success? I mean, during that time, I'm pretty sure you've counted on several elements to take Appion from an idea to a thriving startup. Which would you say that were the top elements that most contributed in your journey to traction?
Yeah, maybe I have to say that, let's say, the real success actually started one phase later, because we focused on industrial electric vehicles, and that was the first real traction where we actually making some sales, which had a good margin and was with good customers. But the real boom started when we started to focus on electric cars, and that was actually the second pivot we made, is that we found that the industrial electric vehicles, although it's a very interesting market, it's not a super fast growing market, and it's a bit of a replacement market. So it's quite fighting against many entrenched competitors. Whereas the consumer electric vehicle market is a complete greenfield and very high growth. So that was actually when the real traction, when it started to become really big. And but, you know, I can in general say what factors are really important. And I think what is extremely number one always is your team of people. I mean, my experience is that really the key to success is the team. And because, you know, technologies change over time, markets change, your challenges change. And the only way to make the step to a new situation is with great people. And, let's say I realized this also early on that you know, this is quite important. My experience is, you know, you can better have a bad idea and a good team than to have a good team but a bad than to have a bad team and a good idea.
So, right.
So, but let's say, as a practical example, I mean, we hired some really, really good people, but also at the moment our business was on the point to scale very much, I also hired a super experienced entrepreneur to join us, a guy called Hans Streng. He's a great guy. He's like a serial entrepreneur who he basically built more than six businesses to success, and he's an absolute great guy, one of the most fantastic people I met, and he's also he's been my mentor throughout this process. So I would say number one is always people and team. I would say that's key. And for the rest, of course, there are many factors you could say contribute, but I think you have to always try things a lot. Don't be afraid to fail. I think this is key. Don't be afraid to fail, but also be honest to learn. Be honest to yourself and learn, because sometimes people are so in love with their own idea or perception that you know, you ignore the signals from outside. So I think it's also extremely important to be very critical towards yourself and be open to learn and stay very humble. So don't think you know everything, because the market may tell you something else. And if you're so convinced of yourself, then maybe you may not pick up the right signals.
Perfect. And considering you were developing an innovative technology, certainly you face big challenges, right? From all the challenges, which, in your opinion, were the most difficult ones, and how did you overcome them?
Ooh, the most difficult challenge, I would say, there's been quite a few. I think we went through every issue which you have in startups. And one of the challenges you face sometimes is that somebody in your team, let's say in the beginning functions okay, but at some point does not function okay anymore. Somebody in the founders team or management team, we had that, and we also had to buy out one person who was actually part of the team.
Okay.
That was very tough. I mean, we had a situation where we were almost bankrupt because
really?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
So I mean, the good thing is, in hindsight, everything always sounds like a perfect success story, but in reality, it's not. It's never. So, I mean, I think there are very few startups which don't have like a near-death experience or something. So, but we also faced that financial crisis where basically we found out that the cash was running out too fast. And as a typical, let's say, technology startup, you know, the typical pattern of, I mean, it takes a little longer to develop the product than anticipated. It takes a little bit more money than anticipated. The market is a little later, so your income is later. I mean, this we faced a couple of times, and that's really tough. I mean, and how did we address this? I would say, you know, in the end, it's again all about the team, to have the right people on board and make sure that you can address these challenges. And for the financial challenges, we had the initial investors were great investors. They were more than financial investors. SET Ventures, Chris Licks, they were very strategic investors. And they also basically supported us in tough times. So that's also critical. I think that you find investors which are not only financial investors, but people who also care for the business somehow.
Yeah. The smart money.
Yeah, smart money, exactly. And also make sure that your investors have sort of the same horizon as you have. I mean, some startups, you can measure the success after 1 or 2 years, but like we had this hardware and software startup with a complete new technology in a complete new market. So there were a lot of startup hurdles. So, or time frame to success was more 5 to 10 years, and you need investors which understand this this time frame.
Right, right. And you've mentioned a lot about your team, right, and the importance of the people in your team. How did your team start, and the background of the person or the people that were in the team, and how did it evolve until the traction, right? How many people did you have in your team, and near traction, did your team changed a lot or not?
I would say, let's say the basic start was myself and a guy called Wouter Smit, who I found at the electrotechnical faculty of the university. I just put up a note. Because I needed an expert to work on the prototype, and I'm not that expert myself. So basically, that's how we met. And later, I a couple of months later, I reconnected with somebody I knew from college, from university, and he joined. That was Wouter Rovers. So basically, the early start was basically people who knew each other some way through university. And I mean, in the beginning, the team was, of course, very R&D oriented, because the first year was, first 2-3 years was mainly developing the technology concept. So it was a very technical team. And toward the traction stage, you have to change your team more with business development, etc., and sales. So we hired some people in that arena, I think at some point, I mean, the team stayed very much R&D till the first real sales happened, and you know that's when the team started to really transform, because once you really start selling, especially with a hardware type of product. You also need service, sales, maintenance, all kinds of functions supporting your product in the field. That's when the team really started to change. And I think also an important realization is that, you know, people who are fantastic at the beginning of a startup may not always be the right people in the next stage. So, yeah. I mean, that happens naturally, that your team starts to evolve. But, you know, some people have a very wide bandwidth. They stretch they are able to basically function comfortably in a new context, which is much larger and different. And there are people who are really very strong in the beginning, but at some point they lose their interest or actually their competence if the context of the company changes by growing. So, that's...
When they have to play different roles and do different things and act in with different mindsets, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, once you go from an R&D stage to a traction stage, the challenges become much more, industrial and a bit boring. You have to just, a lot becomes about execution. And people who like to, are more in the experimental domain, they tend not to like the execution part, which is just boring, crunching numbers, crunching Gantt charts and meeting deadlines, etc. And that's different, I think.
Sure.
So the question is, can you find a good place for those people? Are there still significant, is their contribution still somewhere very useful or not? And then you have to be honest. That's usually mutual because people feel it once it doesn't fit anymore. In general, a lot of the people stayed very long time because the benefit of growing is that once you grow, there are a lot of new roles created and there are many, you get more freedom to realign your organization with more people, of course.
So. Yeah, right. And well, Krijn, before ending the episode, thanks a lot for your help and your story. I would like to know, what piece of advice would you give to startup entrepreneurs that want to achieve traction in their businesses?
I think more personal advice. Do something you love and do something you believe in. I've always worked like that, and many people I've worked with are very driven by mission, or they just, they really believe in what they do and they follow their heart. Because in the end, that's, life in a startup is not, it can be very tough because it's very, you are very close and connected to your product, and it can be very stressful sometimes. So the only way to succeed is that you do something you love. And that's one thing. So, and find people who are in it with their heart. I think that's very important. And then other things is, be very humble and open to criticism. Never, ever think that you are a genius and that you are always right. Try to continue to listen to feedback from the market, feedback from your investors, feedback from smart people. Your concept and in my opinion the most important thing is invest into your team. This is the key. In the end, technologies change, markets will change, a lot will change, and the only way to address the change is the only constant is change. So the only way to address the change is to have a great team and great people around you. So I think that's my, if I have to give a main advice is, spend a lot of time and develop your skills to find good people and hire them and keep them enthusiastic. And then that is the best you can do, I think.
Okay. Great advice. Well, Krijn, thanks a lot for sharing your experience with us today. It was really awesome hearing your insights and in your journey and all your learnings during the way. And thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks very much.
And you, want to review this interview highlights? Want to know more about Krijn Bouwman and Apio? Well, for all that, visit us at thetractionstage.com. Thanks a lot for your attention. Until the next episode of the Traction Stage podcast.